tell me at what cost. I'll find the ticket or ride. I've been waiting for the perfect time.
So thank you for agreeing to do the interview. We really enjoyed the show. How's it all been going so far?
I am sleep deprived. So I say, tour is a weird thing, right? It's like one of those really unique jobs where, you know, you have to wake up really early. I mean, I was up at 6, it's not so bad. And you're not eating, you're not sleeping, but you've got to look amazing and you've got to sound amazing for everyone. It's a weird job. But no, it's the tour's going great because I've enjoyed every single show so far. Yeah.
That's good. So you've got sort of 3 shows a day some of the days. So how do you manage to deal with those stresses and like save your voice? No singing in the shower.
No singing in the shower. I'd like to say don't drink alcohol, you know, but
not true.
After having a great show like tonight, it's hard not to have one beer. I don't know. I think actually the more you sing in a day, the better your voice sounds the next reoccurring few days, actually. So there is a silver lining, and some benefit to singing so much is that your voice is always warm.
Yeah. How do you find the experience performing acoustically? Do you think it's different to playing like a full live?
Yeah, it's different, but me and Daniel, we started as an acoustic act, you know. So, you know, we've played like that for so long that for us it's kind of going back to basics, going back to our roots. And we really enjoy it. It's an intimacy that you don't get when you upscale, you know. Like we've done some big festivals, you know, say like we've played on Reading and Leeds main stage, you know, be it opening up at 12 o'clock on a Sunday when no one's there. And you know, the barrier is, you know, 10 meters, and you've got all these people so far away, and you kind of have to talk to the audience as if it's just like a single unit. But with the intimacy of these smaller acoustic stripped back shows, you can see every face. You can look into the eyes of everybody there really intensely and make them feel weird. No. we really enjoy it because it feels like more of a community, these shows, for sure.
What caused you then to recruit more members? Because obviously it started with you and Dan, and then you ended up with 3 more people.
Good question. Like we kind of hit a ceiling with how and where we could perform. We found ourselves playing in a lot of churches when it was just me and Dan, you know, which is great, you know, great for reverb and stuff. But there's only so many churches you can play in before you're like, actually, I'd quite like to do a bigger show. And we found ourselves on, you know, doing bigger and bigger shows, but it was just me, Dan, and Ben Ongahan, like we did tonight, you know, and a bassist. But it was just the 4 of us for a while, and then we weren't filling the space. We wanted to make music that people could really dance to, and Ben is an incredible drummer. You know, he's an incredible cajon player, but there's a limit. There's a ceiling to playing the cajon. So we just knew that was the natural way to go. So as soon as we started getting booked for bigger shows, we just started rehearsing as a full band. You know, it's like drums with Ben, you know, mirroring the rhythmic acoustic guitar playing that Daniel does. You know, the driving, you know, the low end from Reeve, and then we call Dan Lee the lasagna, the cheese on the lasagna, because he adds all of the, you know, the beautiful swells and all of the, like, you know, production, etc. in the arrangement.
Yeah. Unlike promotional things, it seems to be you and Daniel. Is that do the other ones not want to get involved? Or?
No, apologies. You've only got me today, right? You drew the short straw, right? Now it's because we're so strapped for time. On this tour, we're trying to do more than we can possibly do. So Dan is actually doing the interview downstairs while you guys have got me. But I'm trying to do my best to give you honest, direct answers.
So you talked about how your sort of music has changed since you were playing in like the churches. Where do you think perhaps you might progress next?
Where's the band gonna go?
I feel like, I don't know, like we always, our dream was to play Kentish Town Forum in Kentish Town. But we did that in December, and that was the pinnacle of success for us. So we're like totally lost now. We don't know where to go now. We're like, you know, that was growing up, that was the venue that, for me, if you were playing there, you're basically the most famous person in the world. Like, that is the top level. And then, and you know, we did it. We had a sold out show there, and it was fantastic. And then I'm like, whoa, wait. And now I had to set myself another goal. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Maybe Glastonbury?
Yeah.
Glastonbury Pyramid Stage? God.
And what about in terms of like your music? Do you think you'll sort of change style? I know with this album, songs like Good Like This, it's kind of a little bit of a change of tone.
Yeah, brace yourselves for album two. It's going to be reggae, right? Reggae, drum and bass, infused funk metal.
Nice. I would love to hear that.
No one wants to hear that. No, I mean, me and Daniel, we've never stopped writing songs. It's something that, you know, first and foremost, I'd say we're songwriters. And we write music for ourselves, and it's always just the kind of things that we enjoy. I don't know if that's changed yet, and we've written a lot more songs, you know, that I'm already excited about, yet they're not a reality for anybody else in the world yet. So I wouldn't say there's anything different yet, but you could expect drum and bass in the future. I'm not going to write it off.
I'm not saying I want drum and bass.
Well, when do you think we will expect some more new music? We just can't get enough.
Have you ordered the album already? It's been out for a week. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. When we feel like it, it's a good answer.
That's a better answer. One of the other questions I've got is, I've been like looking at other interviews, and you've decided now is the time you're going to make your music a little bit more personal to to you guys. Is there any reason you've like decided that?
Yeah. Because there's two kind of front men, and me and Daniel in the band, and we both sing, it can be kind of weird sometimes if like he goes through a breakup and then we both have to sing about his ex-girlfriend. Like, that dynamic is slightly strange for us. But then it just so happened that through lockdown, we both came out of like incredibly long-term relationships. I think I was in, came out of a 7-year relationship, came out of a 6-year relationship, and we found ourselves in very similar situations, and it felt like we could actually write about our own vulnerabilities for the first time ever. And it kind of came at a perfect time, because with a debut album, you do want to kind of delve into the mind of the artist a little bit more and talk about yourselves, because it's the, for many people, the first representation of your music to, you know, for the world and stuff. So it felt like the right time to be a little bit more vulnerable, for sure.
So how did you decide like the order of the track list on the album?
There was only one definite from the beginning. Hold Back the Years, which is the first track on the album, is also the oldest song on the album that me and Dan have written. When we wrote it, with the drum fill at the beginning, we just knew that was going to open the album. Like, we didn't even have a concept of an album or what we wanted that to be yet, but we just knew that would be an awesome intro for an album, and that's the only thing that really maintained. And I feel like the rest of the song, it kind of came naturally. I don't think we wrote songs from there with a placement in mind. It was just, you know, creating a map, a mind map, and it just kind of fell into place. Yeah,
okay. Because you included Ticket to Ride on the album, but were you not tempted to do it like you do in there?
I guess we've been around for a long time, and Do It Like Do is a really old song. Maybe people are not bored of it, but maybe it's like a, if we did put Do It Like You Do, we would have re-recorded it. And I think that is maybe a step too far for the people who love that song. Mm-hmm. With Ticket to Ride, you know, it is the kind of only classic on the album, but it's a bit more current than Do It Like You Do. And so it felt right. Yeah. To just Ticket to Ride. Yeah.
Once again, I've seen in sort of other interviews, you said your main fan base is normal people. Why do you think you attract those like kind of people?
Because we're normal.
Yeah,
we're totally normal. Like, you know, I still find it weird that people want my signature, you know, like, it, you know, we'll be playing a show and then completely forget that people are there to see you. You're walking through the crowds and then everyone's like, oh my god, it's like, I don't feel like a celebrity. I mean, we're still a small band, you know. But, you know, for the few people that do get excited when they see us, I'll never understand it. So, yeah, we feel totally normal. And our fans are all, it's, you know, such a range of people. I'd say, you know, you could look at our fan base and it's the same people that you could stand on a street corner and see them all pass you in a day. You know, it's just the world. It's, anyone's into it. It's not exclusive. We're not a club. We make music for normal people. So it's normal music for normal people.
Tagline.
Okay, we've got some quick fire questions for you. Okay. That's okay. Right. The Strokes or Arctic Monkeys?
The Strokes.
Nice. Yeah. Aldi or Lidl?
They're the same, Lidl.
Why?
I don't know. I haven't been into either for a long time. Do you know what? Lidl, because of the middle aisle, you can get some really weird stuff for cheap. It's always exciting.
Okay.
Including one of your birthday presents.
What's your favourite festival?
I love playing at, I think 110 Above is somewhere we always feel like we're coming home. We love playing there. But I also love playing Barnum Farm. And probably my best festival experience ever was Latitude of last year, just because it was our first show back after the pandemic. So that was special for me, and I'll always remember that. Yeah.
What's the favourite gig you've been to?
Favourite gig I've been to? I was talking about this the other day. The first gig I ever went to, someone was asked me about what's the first show you ever went to. And it reminded me about it, and then ever since I was thinking about it, that stuck in my head, and I've got such a vivid memory of it. And I wonder if that's part of the reason why what I do now is because of this show. I mean, it's not going to make sense because the artist doesn't really correlate, right? Because it was Toots and the Maytals and the Congos at the Barbican in London, and that was the first proper show I went to, and I absolutely loved it. Can I say that? And I mean,
that's a pretty good answer.
Is that a big inspiration for you, or are there inspirations?
Oh, like I said, you know, album two, when we go regular, it's going to make sense then.
Yeah. Okay, we've got one final question. It's a big one. If you were fruit, which fruit would you be?
Banana.
Why?
Can you not tell? No? I'm tall and I'm blonde.
Same as Bane always gets banana.
Yeah, banana boys. Yeah, what fruit would I be, Joe?
Tomato.
That's not a fruit, is it?
Yeah, it is. Tomato's a fruit.
Is it?
Yeah, technically.
Because you're unusual.
Because I'm unusual. He means I'm weird.
Okay, thank you very much for that interview.
Yeah, thank you ever so much.